Hour number three, Gresh and Keefe. WEEI, no Gresh today. Andy Hart is in, and we turn right now to the Harbor One Hotline. We bring in Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston to talk about this Patriots draft. Tom, how are you, sir?
Tremendous. How are my guys?
Very, very good.
Super.
Very, very good. We ran a Twitter poll question at Gresh Keefe. Simply, what did you think of the Patriots draft? Loved it, just fine with it, indifferent, hated it. How would you vote on that poll?
What was the second one?
Just fine with it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a wide enough range.
All right, hear that, John? He's questioning the poll question.
Well, there was only allowed four options on it. I wanted to do five.
Well, I understand, and it's hard to come up with those. But, yeah, I would say none of the above. I'm not indifferent. I'm definitely not just fine with it.
Yeah.
And I can't say I hated it. I just think it's dangerous. How's that?
Ooh, dangerous. That would have been a good one, John.
Yeah, new poll.
Dangerous draft
from
the Patriots.
Did you feel like it was dangerous?
What does that mean, Tommy Curran?
It means that if Trent McDuffie, Jermaine Johnson, Kaiir Elam turn into Pro Bowl or all pro level players, and Cole Strange plays to his floor, which is probably, a capable NFL starter, then the Patriots made a pretty bad mistake. If Tyquan Thornton can't catch more than 25 balls in any of his first two seasons, then that's a mistake. Now, if those players end up not working out where they went, McDuffie, Jermaine Johnson, Kaiir Elam, George Karlaftis, and the Patriots get Pro Bowl production from Cole Strange, great. They did a good job. If Tyquan Thornton can come in and be better than a Philip Dorsett or a Cordero Patterson and contribute to the Patriots offense, then that's a hit. But they've risked two picks from small or not prime schools a year after going Alabama and Oklahoma and Michigan with all their picks and said, yeah, we're going to roll the dice on these guys, even though we were given an ultimatum to make sure you keep drafting really good.
So, Tom, I look at this. Cole Strange, I assume, is going to start. There's a hole there that they kind of created partially. Beyond that, how many of these 10 guys do you think could be considered likely for impact roles or contributing roles on the 2022 Patriots?
One. I think Marcus Jones stands a chance of playing, over 200 to 300 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild to think that?
Yeah.
And I got a whole story on this over the weekend, just looking back only to 2019. I didn't get into 2018 and N'Keal Harry or back to Duke Dawson and Cyrus Jones. I just kept it to 19, 20, and 21. And there are caveats in this participation that I noted. Cam McGrone is a projected player who's going to be more featured. But the Patriots have taken 28 players since 2019. Eight of those 28 have not played at all. Five of the eight were selected last season, including Cam McGrone, who should have a role. And Ronnie Perkins should have a role. But of the 28 players drafted, only two of them have played more than 75% of the snaps in the games they were available. And just 12 of the 28 have played in more than half of the games. So that's wild. And only five of the 28 players have been on the field for more than half the snaps in the games they played. Damian Harris, Josh Uche, players that we look at and say, oh, those seem like good picks. They're going to work out. They don't play. Harris is on the field, but he's not on the field for more than half the plays. So that, to me, I look at Tyquan Thornton and Marcus Jones, Jack Jones, and Bailey Zappi, you don't expect him to play. So Jarrett Stidham, we didn't expect to play. So that counts in that group too. But they're not going to get anything out of these guys.
The Tyquan Thornton pick, and again, I'm very pro receiver, Tom. We've had a lot of conversations about these receivers. And I like fast receivers and all that. But maybe it's just because of their track record drafting them. But this was a guy that was projected to go much, much, much later. And then there was a quick run right after them. And those three guys, to me, all seem like they're going to be better NFL players. Did they get intel that Pittsburgh or Kansas City or Indy wanted Thornton? Or why trade up for this guy, you think?
That's the most fascinating aspect of it. Because, as it was stated by Matt Groh, look, you get your guy, he's sitting there, you take him. But trading up to get him, maybe they hate fifth-round picks. This is something Phil Perry believes. They don't like picking in the fifth round. They do all they can to get rid of him. So maybe that was their belief. Hey, you know what? These teams need receivers. We don't even like the fifth-round pick. Let's just make sure we get Thornton here. But what's puzzling about the Patriots' selection of Thornton is that, to me, yeah, they need speed. But it's not down the field 4.28 straight line speed where the guy's a human funny car. And despite the Patriots' protestations that he is more than that, his measurables at the combine have him last in every change of direction measure that is used relative to other Patriots wide receivers that have been drafted. So maybe actually, considering their draft record, maybe that's a good thing. But all that being said, whether it's Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle or Braxton Berrios or Wes Welker, Troy Brown, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, the Patriots are bringing in players to stop short area quickness guys, and they've always benefited most in their offense when they have short area quickness guys. They don't have that. They have a long, lanky, productive slot who knows where to sit down in Jacoby Myers. They don't have a water bug. They needed a water bug. That's the kind of speed they needed, not somebody who can needs a parachute on his ass to stop at the end of his route, which is Tyquan Thornton.
That's a nice imagery. I like
that
it.
That is good.
Tom, you referenced it earlier. Last year they went big school, back-to-back, big school, big school. They kind of traditional powers. It worked. They got some good talent out of that. And, oh, by the way, that was a collaborative effort with Dave Ziegler.
You just gave a quick Dale Arnold, oh, by the way.
Oh, thank you. He's my mentor.
By the way.
Dave Ziegler, right, was a key part of that. He's gone now, and they go back to what feels like a very Belichickian on-brand draft, trade down, mm-hmm. Small school guys. Can I tie last year's draft to Dave Ziegler, and did Belichick maybe reclaim the draft room this year?
I mean, I reclaiming means that he had at some point lost it.
Did I go too strong there? Was that too strong?
A little much.
Reasserted. Yeah. I mean, look, Ziegler, I think, had a – between he and Elliott Wolf and Matt Groh, seemed to have a good thing going, at least as far as people I spoke to, and Robert Kraft spoke publicly about it, how much of a – you know, consortium they seem to have. And now Matt Groh, certainly I like listening to him. He makes compelling cases. I think he's astute and pretty honest with us.
Yep.
But these are Belichick picks. And I spoke to people around the league and they said, in the end, you know, folks who know this team very, very well, in the end, Bill's going to do what Bill's going to do. And he's earned that right. But this whole talk about there being a, you know, collaboration certainly feels overstated right now.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a Bill draft for sure. And Tom, we talked with Cole Strange's college coach from Chattanooga, Rusty Wright, and he did not speak to Belichick at all during the pre-draft run-up. Are you surprised by that at all? I mean, I know there's scouts. I know there's a lot of other personnel people. But for your first-round pick to be a guy who played 1AA like that, does that surprise you at all?
A little bit. And I think Belichick likes to go to speak with people who he trusts. For instance, a lot of faith in Todd Grantham, who was the Arizona State coach, I believe. Is that right, Andy?
Yep.
When they went and got N'Keal Harry. So, yeah. I mean, you had Kirk Ferentz sitting out there in Iowa in 2015. You kind of needed a tight end, yeah. But you didn't want to take George Kittle, who sat there until the fifth round. Mm-hmm. I can't make heads or tails of how the operation goes during the draft. I really can't. I can't. I mean, I'd love to be able to tell you why they wouldn't do that with old Rusty.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah, I'm with you. It's confounding, and there's like 22 years of evidence here too. And you know, he does things one way one year, another way another. So it is hard to keep track.
Yeah, and we all try to draw this straight line. This is how he does it.
Right.
Well,
no,
then this
right.
year he doesn't do it that way.
Correct. Kind of strategy question that came up, especially after Thursday night, was is it worth ever drafting a guard in the first round? like just overall, like take Zion and Cole and all these guys out of it for like, is that position, especially in today's NFL, worth using a first round pick on?
I do believe if you have the right guy, yes, it is. You know, you look at the Indianapolis Colts and you know, their guard situation. Why is that? Oh, Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson's nasty. Yep.
Yeah, look around the league. There's good guards there. And if the Patriots got that and Cole Strange, terrific. But he played at a lower level of competition, and we've been told level of competition matters. And we could talk about Logan Mankins being terrific at the 32nd overall pick. That was a team that had won 32 of 34 games that he joined. This is not a premier position, meaning high end. And in 2004, wide receivers were not the coin of the realm the way they are now, nor maybe were cornerbacks. So Logan Mankins is in a good comp. Yeah, I'm okay with a guard in the first round. But as you alluded to as well, the reason they took a guard in the first round is because they traded away Shaq Mason. The reason they traded away Shaq Mason is he was too expensive. The reason his relatively modest, too expensive contract was too rich for the Patriots was because they don't have cap space. They don't have cap space because they're spending the most money in the league on tight ends and the third most on wide receivers. They're spending that money because they couldn't draft those positions capably or ignored them in the draft. So it all comes back to the draft. So that's why Cole Strange is there, because they're not good at drafting.
Tom, I'm going to ask you what seems like a simple question, but Matt Groh said it's complicated. Are the Patriots a better football team now than last time we saw them play?
No.
Well,
not.
That seems simple.
Yeah, okay, that was quick. Thanks.
Right?
I agree. I completely agree.
I mean, don't even get to the players on the field. When Josh McDaniels leaves, the team gets worse. When the other coaches leave, it gets worse. When Ivan Fierce leaves as the running backs coach, you're going to be not as good. There's a learning curve. That's not even getting into J.C. Jackson or releasing the most productive linebacker, Kyle Van Noy, or the most capable offensive line player in Shaq Mason. So they're not a better team. They have a projected, God willing, I hope Cam McGrone plays great, because I like watching fast, exciting sideline-to-sideline linebackers. I hope Cam McGrone's good. But you're putting a lot on him, and you're putting a lot on Raekwon McMillan, and you're putting a lot on Mac Wilson to come in and be that those second-level defenders that you hope are going to be able to help neutralize Josh Allen. And that's the thing. The team lost 47-17. Defense was a problem. What have they done defensively to make themselves drastically better? I'm not seeing it.
N'Keal Harry, Jarrett Stidham, both just gone, right? Or is there any way that those guys stick somehow?
Who was the one you said, N'Keal and who?
Stidham.
Yeah, Hoyer's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And Bailey Zappe might get filtered through to the practice squad. But I would think that you'd probably move on from Stidham. Harry, I mean, you can't even figure him. I mean, they're pretty deep at wide receiver, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Tyquan Thornton is going to get on the field.
Yeah, he has to be better than Aguilar. And that's a bar.
He has to be better than Aguilar,
yeah.
Who's a professional player who averaged 18 yards per catch in the NFL, was a former first-round pick, is not a dummy.
Right.
So it's going to be hard to beat him out. I mean, he's basically a souped-up Philip Dorsett, but Philip Dorsett would have been tough to beat out, too, for a kid coming from Baylor who makes no yards after catch and doesn't break tackles.
Well, it's going to be an interesting camp. I know you guys will be all over it. Tom, thanks so much for the time this week, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.